Today's shir is Masechta Sanhedrin on Daf Mem Zayin. We will begin at the top of the Amud with the first word, Tashma. We are in the middle of a sugya that began on Mem Vov Amud Beis, approximately 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara had in the Boyalahu a question whether Hespeda Yikra de Chaya Havi or Yikra de Shechvi Havi. Is a Hesped, the eulogy that is made on a nifter, is that an honor for the surviving relatives, or is it an honor for the deceased? And the Gemara said there are two nafgaminas. One nafgamina is if the deceased left at Tzavo a last will that he does not want anyone to make a hesped for him. If it's his honor, the deceased's honor, then we have to listen to his request. If a hesped is the honor of the surviving relatives, then we would not listen to his request and we would offer words of eulogy, of hesped. A second nafgamina is if we can force the yorshim to pay to hire someone to be maspid. If it is the honor of the living, then the living can say, we don't want to pay for someone to be maspid, our father. However, if it is the honor of the deceased, then from the funds that the children have inherited from their father, we would force the children to hire a maspid to be maspid their father. And the Gemara is trying to bring various proofs to see whether, in fact, a hesped is yikra dechaya or yikra deshechvi. Begins the Gemara, Toshma, come and learn a proof from the following brisa. And the brisa begins with a pasuk, as the Masorah Shas says on the side, Tehillim Tezvov, Nivze Be'enov Nimas, someone who is low and degraded in his own eyes, and he is disgusting and repulsive. If we look in Rashi, Rashi quotes a pasuk which is actually in Tehillim Perichof Dalet, which begins with Miyala Behar Hashem, Neki Kapayim Bar Levov. On the side, the Masorah Shashatz, Rabbi Yeshua Pick tells us that Tzorach Loimer Miyogar Bo'alecha. In Tehillim Perichof Dalet, which Rashi seems to quote, in the Perik of Miyala Bahar Hashem, it does state Neki Kapayim Bar Levov, but it does not have the pasuk of Nivze Bein of Nimas. Rather, the Masorah Shashas tells us that's Perik Tezvov, which begins with Miyogar Boyalecha, who will be Zocha to dwell in your tent, meaning in Olam Abba, someone who, amongst other milas that are mentioned there, someone who is Nivze Bein of Nimas. The question is, how did Rashi make this mistake to quote the pasuk of Nivze Bein of Nimas in Tehillim Chaf Dalid when actually it's in Tehillim Tezvav? There's an interesting answer that's given in the Sefer Chamer V'Chaya, which is brought down by the Margolius Sayyam, and that is that actually Rashi, of course, knew that the pasuk Nivze Bein of is in Tehillim Tezvav, and Rashi wrote a short form, Mem Yud Beis, standing for, representing the words of Tilim Tezvav, Mi Yogur Ba'oyalecha, Mem Yud Beis. The printer thought that the Mem Yud Beis stands for Mi Yala Behar, and once he was already writing the pasuk, Mi Yala Behar Hashem, he already included the Kikapayim Bar Levav. But actually, Rashi, of course, was quoting the correct pasuk, Mem Yud Beis, Mi Yogur Ba'oyalecha, Tehillim Tezvav. Now, the Gemara explains what about whom this pasuk refers. Zeh Chizkia Melech Yehuda. This refers to Chizkia Melech Yehuda. Shegirer Atzmois Aviv Al Mitzvah Shel Chavav. Chizkia's father Achaz was a Rasha. He served Avodah Zarah, and after he died, Chizkia dragged the bones of his father on a bed of ropes. This was a very degrading way to bury his father. The Gemara in Brachas Daf Yud Amud Beis, also in Psachim on Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, tells us that Chizkio did six things, three of which the Chachamim agreed to, and three of which the Chachamim did not agree to. This was one of the three things which the Chachamim agreed, that it was the correct thing to do. Now, Rashi explains that the pasuk Nivze Bein of Nimas refers to Chizkio, for although by dragging his father through the street on a bed of ropes, this was a bezoyin to Chizkio himself, but he did not look after his own degradation, his own disgusting, repulsive act that he was doing, but rather he looked at the Kiddush Hashem that would be involved, and Rashi says he was lechvayda b'makom Kiddush Hashem. He did not mind about his own personal degradation, and his purpose, says Rashi on the third wide line, kidei sheyisyasru acherim. His purpose was that others should take a mussar from this, should learn. Look what happens to someone who serves avodah zarah. Look what his end is. Now these words in Rashi are key to answer a question that the Bach will tell us later in the sugya. We'll come back, Be'ezras Hashem, to these words in Rashi. Now, Rashi points out that even though he wasn't giving proper honor to his father, but that's only, we learn from the pasuk, Nasi ba'amcha, ba'oisa masa amcha, that the father or the prince or the king who is to receive honor, that's only if he's ba'amcha, if he acts like a good Jew, if he does Torah and mitzvahs. But someone like Achaz, who was a Rasha, who served Avodah Zarah, there was no issue of Chizkio not showing the proper kavod to his father. So the Gemara now brings this pasuk and the way Chazal darshan that it's going on Chizkio HaMelech, that he'll be zoiche to olam habo, miyogur bo alecha, you know he'll be zoiche to olam habo, Chizkio HaMelech, who was willing for Kiddush Hashem, to be mevazeh himself. But ve'i mishum yikrid chayahu, if kavod, hesped, that is done for a mace, is really the honor of the living, and that means that any bezoyin will be also, a bezoyin to the mace will be a bezoyin to the living, my time, how could Chizkiah do such a thing? As Rashi says, lama biza sachayim. Why didn't he think about the honor of Klal Yisrael, that by dragging their king through the streets on a bed of ropes, he would be mevaza Klal Yisrael? So the Gemara answers, ki heichi didhevi lekapora lavua, that since this would cause a kapora to his father by doing this, so therefore, even if hesped is yikra d'chaya, and things that are done derogatorily to a mace are also against the living, because both things go together. If it's honor to a mace by giving him a proper hesped, it's also dishonor to the mace by doing things against him. If it's honor to the chayim, then when you do something to the mace, then it's dishonor to the chayim. But since this would be causing a kapora to his father, it was permitted. But the Gemara asks them that, mishum kapora davua mashu leili yikra d'Yisrael, because of the kapora that would come to his father through this act of dragging through the street, do we suspend the honor of Klal Yisrael? After all, Klal Yisrael is being affected by this. The Gemara answers, Yisrael gufayim nichlu d'michli yikraya l'gabei. The Jewish people themselves were happy to be mochel their honor towards Chizkio HaMelech. Since they knew that Chizkio HaMelech wanted to do this in order to gain a kapora for his father, therefore they also, just like Chizkio didn't care about his own honor or his own dishonor, his own degradation when it came to dragging his father through the street, so the same thing, Klal Yisrael was moichel on their own covet. So what the Bach points out is right now the Gemara is saying that although we could look at hesped always as a yikra d'chaya, it's a covet for the living, yet we can still say that negative things that happen to the father would be a kapora. And this linkage, later in the Gemara we'll see, the Gemara seems to say just the opposite. And then we'll give an answer of the Netziv, the Meroi Misada. Tashima, let's learn from a different brisa. Amrlan, Rebbe said to his children before he was going to die, he died in, as Rashi brings down for the Gemara Ksubis, in Tzipori. But he was buried in the plot in Beis She'orim. So on the way from Tzipor to Beis Shearim, there were hespedim held in various cities along the way. Said Rebbe to his children, Al tespeduni bayaris, don't make a hesped in the villages. The E, Amar Tikra D'Chayya, so the Gemara now asks, if you're going to say the hesped is always an honor for the Chayim, my nafle mina. What does Rebbe care whether there's a hesped in a big city, in a village? Whoever hears it, there'll be an honor to Klal Yisrael to hear a hesped about Rebbe. The Gemara answers that even if it's Yikra D'Chayya, but still Rebbe, if it's Yikra D'Shichvi, then of course we want to have a big hesped for Rebbe in a big city, and as Rashi points out, the people from the villages will come to the city, and it'll be a covet to the mace to have a big levaya and a big hesped. But the Gemara is asking, if it's honor for the Chaim, then what's the difference if the Chaim get honored in a village or they get honored in the city? So the Gemara answers, Kasavar lis yakru be Yisrael tfei. By having a larger gathering in a city, that itself would be a covet for Klal Yisrael, even if you learned that the Hesped is a covet of the Chaim, but if there's a great tzibur, a bigger tzibur, there's more honor, so really we could say it's Yikra D'Chayya, and yet Rebbe wanted that they should all meet in the big city, and the villagers should travel to the big city to hear the Hesped on Rebbe. Tashma, let's learn from our Mishnah on Daf Mem Vav, Halinu L'Chvayda. We know that there is an Isser of Halonis HaMeis, which we learn out from the Pasuk, Loisol Nivlas Le'ala Eitz, that those who were Niskolin were also Nitla. They were hung up, but they weren't supposed to be hung up overnight. And from there we learned that not only people who were hung up, their carcass should not be left overnight, but also regular people should not be left overnight. There should be an immediate burial. And if not, one is over on Loisolin Nivlasai. However, says the Mishnah, Halinu L'Chvayda, if they did it for the honor of the mace, for example, Lahavi L'Oron V'Tachrichen, to bring a Oron in which the mace is put, a casket, or shrouds, Einoi Oivor, O love, you're not Oivor on Loisolin. My love, L'Chvayda Shal Mace. So you're not Oivor on Loisolin because the only time you're Oivor, if you do it for the degradation, if you just leave him alone overnight, but if you're doing it for his honor to bring Oron v'Tachrichen, then there's nothing wrong. It would seem to be Yikra, the Shichvi. Things that we do to the mace are for his honor. The Gemara says, my love, L'chvayda Shemace. The Gemara answers, no, loy, L'chvayda Shachai. That if the mace has Oron v'Tachrichen the way he's supposed to, that itself is an honor for the Chai, for the living. That's no proof from there that Yikra the Shichvi. Ask the Gemara, Mishum K'vayda Shachai. Mavis le'lemeis, the word mavis is the same as solid, leave over. Because of the honor of the chai, will we leave over the mace overnight? If it's an honor for the chai, for the mace, we understand why you leave it over. But if it's an honor for the chai, will that negate the aveira of leaving the mace overnight? The Gemara says, in. Yes, why? Because ki om rachmana le'sol nevlasela eitz. When did the Torah say that you shouldn't leave his nevela on the tree, you shouldn't leave it overnight, dum yiratali. Every mace is compared to those haruge bezdin who were killed by a bezdin who were hung up. Just like when you leave the dead body overnight, the ispe bezoyin, there is a degradation, there is an embarrassment to the mace by doing that. So too, the aveira by any mace to leave him over is only when it causes degradation. Avol hocha, kiven, the less be bezoyin. But here, where there's no bezoyin, even if I learn that things that are done to the mace, like hesped, or other matters, like oren v'tachrichen that are done, l'kovid ha-mace, are really kovid ha-chai, loy, it's not considered a bezoyin hames if we're doing things that will be yikra d'chaya. So we have no raya from that halacha that this is a aspect of yikra d'shichvi. Could be it's considered yikra d'chaya. Continues the Gemara, Tashma, halinu l'chvaydai, if they left over the deceased for his honor. For example, L'shamei olav ayarois. Rashi says the word L'shamei comes from a similar pasuk in Shmuel Aleph Perek Tezvav, Vayishama Shol, which is Lashon Asifal Haspidoy, that Shol let out the word, he let everybody hear that they should all gather together. So if we're waiting so that the people in the villages could come into the big cities, so it should be a big levai, that's the chvayder, you're not over on Loy Solon, or Lahavir Loy Mekoinenois, or to bring women who knew how to lament properly. Also, this was the minig that women used to lament at a levaya, so it's also a covered maze. Or lohaviloi orin v'tachrichin, as we learned before, to bring him orin v'tachrichin. Ain't oiver love, you're not oiver on loy solid. Shekol ho aiseh, whoever does these things, ain't oiver l'chvoy rishol maze. He's doing it for the honor of the maze. So here, this brisa would seem to indicate clearly that it's l'covered ha-maze, not in the honor of the chai. Says the Gemara, no proof. Hachi kamer kolo oisel l'chvoy rishol chai, ain't by bizarin l'maze. The only time you're ever only sold in the Vlasoi is only if it turns out to be an embarrassment for the mace. There's no purpose. But if there's a purpose, even if the purpose is for the honor of the living, that itself means that you're not leaving over the mace for no reason, but you have a positive reason to give honor to the chai, that itself constitutes that it's not considered a bezoyin mace and it's mutter. You're not over on the lav of l'sol in the Vlasoi. And then the Gemara brings a final proof. Tashma, Rav Nosson Omer, Simen Yafel Meis, Shenifra Mimenu La'achar Misa. It's a very good simen to a mace that after he dies, if something happens until the burial, that itself is part of the kapora that the mace receives on this world, and he will not need dinim and oinshim in the world to come. For example, mace a deceased, chaloi nispat, that he was not eulogized. Viloi nekber, he wasn't buried. So the Bryce is going to end off that this is simen yafel mace. This is all a good sign. So Tosis on mem vav amid beis, divrei amaschil kfura, Tosis says what the Bryce is saying over here is not that he wasn't buried at all, because if he's not buried at all, that's not a good simen, because kfura is part of the kapora process. And therefore, if a person doesn't get kfura, he's missing that forgiveness, and it's not a good sign. What the brisa means over here is that he wasn't eulogized or buried properly according to the level of honor that was due to him. Or he continues the brisa, shechaya goyru rasai, a wild animal dragged the deceased, oy shahayu geshamim mizalfin al mitasei, or there was rain that was sprinkling down on his bed where the mace was lying. All of these zehu simen yafel mace. That's a good sign for the mace. So shma mina, we see from here yikra deshichvehu shma mina. So we see that things that are done to a mace, if they're positive things, like a hesped, that's an honor for the mace. If they're negative things, that a bezoyin for the mace, then it'll serve as a kapora to the mace. So by the mere fact that we're saying that these are all these bad things that happened to him, with the wild animal dragging the body, with it raining, he didn't receive a proper kura or hesped, all these bad things are a good sign to him because they help in his kapora. So we see that positive things that are done to the mace, such as hesped, when he does have a proper hesped, that's all looked at, that it is honor given to the deceased and not to the living. Shma mina, this in fact is an excellent raya. The question that the Bach has in on the right side, on the right margin in Os Aleph, is that this seems to contradict what we learned above, which I pointed out as we were learning it. There it said, three lines from the top, that if it's Yikra Dechaya, why did Chizkio drag his father Achois through the streets? He's shaming the Chayim. And the Gemara answered, he did it for a kapara. So we see that the mace could have a kapara, even if you hold Yikra Dechaya, the kapora could still be given to the mace. So why does the Gemara say over here that if these bad things happen, which serve as a kapara, then it must be that yikra de shechvi. You just said on the top of the yomid that even if yikra de chaya, he did it, Chizkiyahu did it to his father in order for his father to have kapara. And Klal Yisrael agreed with it. They were moichel under covered, but we see that you could have yikra de chaya, hesped could be yikra de chaya, and yet the kapara could work for the father. So why here at the end does the Gemara say if the kapora is working the father, it must be yikra de shechvi? You see just the opposite from on top. So the answer, the Bach remains with a question. The Netziv and others, the Netziv, the Meraim Yisada, wants to give an answer that the kapora that Ochoiz would receive is not from what was done to him. Because there ain't a chanami. If you're looking at what's done to him, then you can't say it's yikra d'chaya. The Erdi Gemor concludes that if we're looking at things that happen to him, either positive or negative, we always have to look at it in terms of shechvi, in terms of the one who died. You can't say it's an honor to the living and yet a kapora for the mace. That won't work. But here we're not speaking about the bezoyin that happened personally to Achos himself. If that was the source of the kapora, then ain't a chanami. We couldn't say yikra d'chaya. That would be a proof that when it's positive, it's yikra de shechvi, and when it's negative, it's something negative against the mace, not against the chayim. The fact that he got kapora here is from something else. And l'chayra, the third line of Rashi on top of the yomid, when Rashi said, and we pointed these words out at the beginning of the shir, kidei sheyisyasru acherim. What Chizkiyahu did here was a schus for his father because other people took mussar from the end, the calamity at the end of Ochaz's life, how he was dragged through the streets. They said, we better stay away from Avodah Zorah, we better do tshuva, and that tremendous Kiddush Hashem came out. So Ochaz was the cause of a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. That Kiddush Hashem was the schus that the Gemara is referring to, which served as a kapara to Achais. It wasn't what happened, the degradation that happened to Achais, that served as his kapara. Because if you're looking at that, you'd have to say that yikra d'shichvi, you'd always have to look in terms of the mace. But rather, the Kiddush Hashem that came out as a result of what happened to Achais, that served as a kapara. But the Gemara's maskana is that when we're looking specifically at things that happened to a mace, if we say it's a simen yofet to the mace, if bad things happen, so it must be that we're always looking things that happen to the mace himself in terms of the mace. So if a hesped is done to the mace, it must be that it's a yikr, it's a chashuv thing, an honor to the mace himself, and not yikr d'chaya. And that's why in halacha, in simen shin dalad mem sif tests, it says that Yorshin, who don't want to pay schar for a masbid, we take out the money, Bezdin takes out the money by force, and the Taz explains, because we paskin here at the end of the Gemara, that Hespeda is yikra d'shichvahu. So if they inherited money from their father, they have to use some of that money to hire a masbid. They can't say it's for our honor and we're moichel. No, it's your father's honor, you have to pay. And so it says further in Sif Yud, that mi shetziva shalo yisbedu shaymenloi. If a father said, I don't want a hesped, then we listen to him, because it's yikra d'shichvi. It's an honor for the deceased, and he has the right to be meichel. However, the halacha states that if he commanded his children that I don't want you to sit shiva or shloishim over me, there we don't listen to him. The Shach points out that if a father or mother said to the children, I don't want you to be noig the dinim of Yud Beis Chodesh, that they have a right to do. Because since this is something that we don't find by other mesim, by a brother or sister, it's only by a father and mother. So it comes out that this is a whole inyan of kibud av v'aim, and therefore they have a right to be moichel on their honor. The Pischei Tshuva brings down from the Tshuva's Evan Shoyam that as someone who commanded his son that he shouldn't say Kaddish for him, we also listen to the deceased. And finally, the Pischei Tshuva there brings down from Shas and Tshuva's Tshuva Me'ava, a Talmud of the Night of Yehuda. He brings from his Rebbe the Night of Yehuda that when the Pnei Yeshua gave a tzivui that he didn't want anyone to be maspid him after his demise, the night of Yehuda was maspid the Pnei Yeshua, because when it comes to Rosh Kol Bnei Agoyla, the Rosh Gebahag, the Pnei Yeshua was the Gadol Ador, there we don't listen to the tzivui. Apparently the generation, the dor, needs this iris of the hesped that the night of Yehuda was going to give, and therefore the night of Yehuda, in fact, was maspid the Pnei Yeshua, although the Pnei Yeshua had given a tzavah, not to have a hesped. Continues the Gemara. V'chol kach loy hayakivrin. So the Mishnah went on to say, loy hayakivrin asoy b'kivris avaysav, ela shtei batik foras hayu, misukana lebezdin, achas naragin v'nechnakin, v'achas l'nitzkov v'nisrafim. The Bezdin had two cemeteries, one for people who received skila or sreifa, and one for those who received hereg or chenek. Says the Gemara, v'chol kach lama. Why do we have this? Why don't we bury them with everybody else? The fish and carven rush eats a tzaddik. We don't bury a rush next to a tzaddik. The Amar of Acha v'chadnina, menayin shein carven rush eats a tzaddik. How do we know this halacha? Shenemar. It says in Malachim Beis, Perik Yud Gimel, v'hi em carven ish. They were burying a man. This was a Navi Sheker. V'hi ne roes hagdud. They saw the legions, the troops of Moyav. And they panicked. They threw down the man. They kever Elisha, in the kever of Elisha. He rolled down and he touched Elisha, who was buried there. Vayigo ish ba'atzmis Elisha. Vayichi, he came alive. Vayakam ha'raglav, he got up on his feet. So the reason is because he was a Rashi, he was a Navi Sheker, and therefore he was not zeichet to be buried together with Elisha. From here we learn out that ain't kaiver Rashi etz tzaddik. That's why we don't put the Niskol and the Sruf and the Rug and the Chnok, and we don't put them together with everybody else because they are Rishon. They should not be buried near a Tzaddik. In fact, the Margolius Hayam brings down from the Sefer Hasidim, there's a Maisa with a Talmud Chacham on a Tzaddik who was buried next to someone who was not a God-fearing person, and the Tzaddik came in a dream to all the members of the city, and he said to them in the dream, what have you done? You've buried me next to this person. There's such a stench coming from him. And it's like a lavatory, a bathroom facility. Get me out of here. They built a wall separating the tzaddik from his neighbor, and then the dream stopped coming to the people. So there's an inyan not to bury a Russian next to a tzaddik. And we learn it from this Russia, who was accidentally buried next to Elisha. Amalei Rapapa said, Rapapa, Vidilma, and maybe Ikiyuma, maybe this was for a different reason. Not because a Russia can't be next to a tzaddik, to fulfill that which Eliyahu said to Elisha, if you're going to see me depart from this world, if you're zoche to see it, then you will get double my power. V'yihina pishnayim beruchacha. Eli, Elisha asked that I should get double what you were able to do, and Elio said, if you'll see me going, that means you'll get it. And since Elio was Mechaya Mason, the son of the Almana, so Elisha had to do two people. We know he did one, and that was the Bino Shel Ishes HaShunamis, but where was the other one? This was the second one. It wasn't because a Rosh shouldn't be buried next to a tzaddik. Maybe it was to fulfill this bracha that Elio gave Elisha, that you will have pishnaim. Omer lei, if that's the reason, ihach yahana d'tzani d'ach, which we learned in the Braisa, that al raglav amad, the pasuk says that Rosh, when he touched Elisha, got up on his feet. But alubeisa lehalach, he didn't reach his house because he died right away. So if this was to be Mekayim, Tchiyus HaMeisim, double what Elio did, then this mace should have lasted. He shouldn't have died immediately again. So this could not be a Kiyum of the Pishnayim, of being Mekayim Meisim two times, because he died right away. Ella, the Gemara says, if so, v'hino pishnayim heichem eshkachsela. So how, in fact, was there a kiyum of pishnayim? The achye that he was mechayim mason twice. We only find one time, the ben ashunamis. So Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, or on the side, it says Amar Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan was really not part of this discussion, but they're quoting what Rabbi Yochanan said. Sheripet Tsaras Naaman, the second time was when Elisha was merapid the Tsaras of Naaman, Shehishkul Kemes, because Tsaras is equal to death. The Aaron said concerning Miriam, Alna Sehi Kemes, that our sister Miriam should not be like a mace, because the Tsaras has a din of a mace. So by curing Naaman, this would be the second time that Elisha was considered to have been Machaya Mason, but not when this person came, this Russia, this Navi Sheker, touched his body and he became alive. That could not be the second time of Trias Mason because he died right afterwards. Must be because a tzaddik cannot be buried next to a Russia. Continues the Gemara, now that we have learned that the Rishon cannot be buried next to the Tzaddikim, so too we saw in the Mishnah that the Neskolim and the Nesrafim could not be buried together with the Neharogin and Nichnachkin. And the Bryce explains that, Kashem she'ein karven Rasha etzel Tzaddik, just like you cannot bury a Rasha next to a Tzaddik, kach ein karven Rasha chomer etzel Rasha kal. Since the Neharogin and Nichnachkin are considered kal, not as bad Rishoim as the Neskol and the Nesrafim, therefore they are buried in a separate cemetery. As the Gemara, Vilasaka, and Arba Kvoris, why did Bezdin only have two cemeteries? Why did they not have a total of four cemeteries, one for each of the Arba Mises Bezdin? So the Gemara answers, Shnei Kvoris, Gemara, Gemiri law, that there was a Halach L'maych Mesinai, that there would only be two cemeteries available to Beis Din. So one was for the Neskol and the Nesrafim, and one was for the Neharogin and Nechnokin. And now the Gemara begins a inyan, which we will later bring a raya from our Mishnah. Amar Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Achol Chelev, if a person ate Chelev B'shoigeg, Vehifrish carbon, and he separated a carbon. Vehimer dasai, and then he became a mumer lavad azar of a chazer boy, and then he did tshuva. Hoyel v'nitcha, since at one time his carbon could not be brought, because when he was a mumer, he was not able to bring a carbon, as the pasuk says, we learn in Chulin daf Hei Amud Beis, me'ama oretz prat lemumer. So hoyel v'nitcha yidocha. Since there was a period after he separated this korban when he was a mumer, and at that time he could not bring a korban, so therefore yidocha, he is not allowed to bring this korban anymore, even after he does tshuva. Itmar nami. We learned also a similar halacha, and the Gemara is going to find out why does Rabbi Yochanan have to say both halachas. Itmar nami, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Amar Rabbi Avua, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Achel Chelev, if somebody ate Chelev B'shoigeg, V'hifrish korban, and he separated a korban chattas, V'nishtato, and he became a shoite, became insane, the chazer v'nishtapo, and then he became sane. The halacha is hoyel v'nitche yidocha. The same halacha, since there was a period of time where he could not bring the korban, since the pasuk says, as Rashi brings down, lertsoina, it has to be with his das, and this person for a period of time did not have das, so since the korban was pushed away, it was not able to be brought at that time, it remains nitche forever. So the Gemara wants to know, why are both halachas necessary? Why do Rabbi Yochanan have to say both when they're saying the same thing, the concept of dichui? Why does it have to be said by mumer and also by shaitu tzricha? Diashmin kamais, if he would only tell me the halacha by mumer, mishum de'iu doch nafshi b'yadayim. That's considered a real dichui because he, with his own bechira, decided that he's going to serve avodah zarah. So maybe that's called a dichui. Aval hai, but this one by shaita, de memela kadachi. This happened by itself. The person became, rachamana litzlan, ill, and he became insane. And it was not up to his own bechira. I would think that that is only considered like someone who separated a korban and then he went to sleep, that of course he is able to bring the korban the next day, even though while he was sleeping he could not bring the korban. So I would look at a person who became a shoita as if he was sleeping. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan had to say, no, that if he was a shoita, there's also a halacha of dichli. Let him tell this halacha only by shoita. No. V'yesh min ha'chav, he would say by shoita mishum de'en b'yari lachzer, because he's not able to get himself out of this predicament. He has an illness. And therefore, that is considered a real dichli. Aval hasan by mumr to be yari lach, so he can do tshuva, he has bechira, aim aloy. I would say that that is not considered a dichli. Sricha, therefore, Rabbi Yochanan had to tell me, both by mumr and by shaita, that it has a halacha of dichli. Amar Rabbi Yosef, said Rabbi Yosef, afanan namitanina. This concept of dichli we also saw in a brisa. Ha you bo, we're speaking about an ir hanidachas, where roiv of the city served avodah zarah, so the shalal, the spoils of the city, had to be destroyed, except if there was kachim in the city, that is not destroyed. We learn it out from a pasuk, where the pasuk says that shalalah v'loy shalal shamayim, that if it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is not burnt with the rest of the property of the city. So hayu ba kachim, if there was kachim, it depends. If it was kachim, is beyach. If it was like an oil or a shlamim, so they are not burnt with the rest of the spoils of the city. But Yamusu, we allow the animals to die. A chattis, of course, the halacha always is that chattis shemesu ba'alea is misa. That a chattis where the owner is no longer alive has to be let to die. The chiddush here is that even an oil or shlamim, where normally one could bring these korbanos after the owner is dead, but here, by Yirin Adachas, we will not bring it as a korban, and the Gemara is going to soon explain why. If it's kachir betekabais, if it was money, property, that was donated for the upkeep and the maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash, then the din is yipadu. That it should be redeemed, and the person who redeems them and gives money to the Beis HaMikdash, he's able to use these animals, he's able to have hanoah from them, to eat them, once he has done the pidgin. Vavinabo, we had the following question, Amaya Musa, why is the din that by the oil and shlomim, they should die, kiven de iktol, once the perpetrator, once the person who served Avodah Zarah and the Irin Adachas died, once he's killed by cherev, havyelahu kapara. So, even if he didn't do tshuva, as Rashi speaks out, but the mere fact that he's getting killed because of his avera, the Gemara is assuming that that itself is a kapara, v'lisku l'gavoya, why can't the animal now be brought as a korban to Hashem? Why is that halacha? Do we have to leave it, die, and not be brought as a korban? Lav mishum, is it not because damrin hoil v'nitri yitru? This is the halacha of Rabbi Yochanan, the concept of dichui, that since there was a time, as Rashi says, where since the people served Avodah Zarah, so Zevach Rishoyim Ta'eva, it's an abomination. The Pasuk says in Mishlei Chaf Aleph, which Rashi quotes three lines before it gets wide, Zevach Rishoyim Ta'eva. So therefore, since at that period, when they had done the Avera, the Korban could not be brought. So therefore, even after their death, there's a din of dichli, even though now they have received kapora through their misa, but there was a period where it couldn't be brought. The Rishash points out that Rashi earlier, as we quoted from the Gemara in Chulin Daf Hei Amud Beis, brought the pasuk of me'ama aretz prat lemumer, why a mumer cannot bring a korban. Here Rashi seems to be bringing a different pasuk, zevach rishram te'eva, and the Rishash explains that before Rashi was speaking about a korban chattas that was brought by someone who ate chelev b'shoigeg. So over there, we know that a mumer cannot bring it from the pasuk written by chattas of me'ama aretz. From there we learn prat lemumer. Now, this pasuk that Rashi brings of Zevach Rishoyim Te'eva, that it's an abomination to take a korban from a Rasha, that's speaking even an oil and a shlum, where normally, as we mentioned before, if the Bialim died, you could bring the korban, but because it's Zevach Rishoyim, you're not allowed to bring it. So the Rabbi Yosef wants to bring a riot to Rabbi Yochanan from this brisa of the Iran, of Kachim by Iran Nidachas. Amalei Abaya, so Abaya disagrees. And Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, Mi Savrat Meis Mitoch Rishya Havla Kapara. You're going with the assumption that if someone dies while he's still a Rasha, like in the Iran Nidachas, he didn't do tshuva, and he's killed, but the death itself serves as a kapara. I contend, says Abaye, a meis mitoch rusha lo yaveh le kapara. A person didn't do tshuva, and he died while he's still a rusha. The mis itself does not bring about a kapara. So that's the reason why you can't bring it as a korban after his death. Not because of dichui, but because it's still in the category of zevach rishram te'eva. He didn't have any kapara. So the Yad Rama asked, how could Abaye entertain such a thing? We learned in the Mishnah that the people who were killed by Beis Din confessed, and once they confessed, they are b'nei olam habo, they will have tchiyas ha-meisim, so we see they do have a kapara. So the Yad Rama answers that einichanami, in the long run, they will receive olam habo, they'll have tchiyas ha-meisim, but the Gemara is going right now, after the person's death, Abaye is saying he didn't necessarily get kapara right now. Right after his death, when we want to bring the korban, he's still in the getter of being a rasha, and will still apply zevach rishon teiva. That's the reason we're not bringing the korban, and not because of dichli. The Tani Rav Shmaya, where do I see this concept? We see it by halacha of a kohen who's able to be matama to his relatives, but he's only allowed to be matama to them if they're oisa maisa amoy. If they do, if they act like a frum Jew, yachla filu pirshu avos medarchei tzibur, if a person became a mummer and he separated himself from the ways of the community, he's not acting like a religious Jew anymore. So I would think even then, when the pasuk says l'nefesh lo yitame b'am of kiyum l'she'eroi, that there is an exception for a relative, that he could be metame. Maybe that's even if the person became a mummer. Tamalayim or ba'amav. The pasuk says ba'amav, which means ba'oisamaisamav, that he's acting like a from Jew. So we see that even though his parent, his relative, died as a mummer, there is no kapara. We consider him a rasha, and therefore there is no exception to the rule, and the kohen cannot be metame to his relative if the relative was not oisa maisa amav. So l'chari this will be a riot that a meis metoich rishri, somebody who died and he didn't do tshuva, that he is still considered a rasha, and that's the reason why we're not going to bring the korban after his death. Amale Rava, so Rava answers Abaye, mi komadamis nerg metoich rishri l'meis metoich rishri. How could you compare someone who dies without doing tshuva to someone who is killed by Beis Din? Meis mitoich rishri, someone who dies as a rasha, kiven dechiurcha kamaya, since he died a natural death, lo yhavi le kapora, that itself is not a kapora. But nereg mitoich rishri, he could have lived for many more years. Beis Din took away his life, so kiven delav kiurcha meis, since he didn't die a normal death, havi le kapora, it is a kapora. Tate, and I'll bring your proof. Dechsiv, the pasuk says in Tehillah, mizmor loss of Elohim, bo goyim b'nachlasecho, goyim came into your inheritance, they came into the Eretz Yisrael, they came into the place of the Beis HaMikdash, timu es hegel kachecha, they were metame the Beis HaMikdash, nosnu es nivlas avadech, machol oif ha-shamayim, they gave the dead body of your servant as food for the birds of heaven, boser chasidecha, and the flesh of your pious ones, l'chaisarets, to the wild animals of the earth. So the Gemara wants to know, my avadecha, my chasidecha. What is the difference between eved and chasid? Lav, chasidecha, chasidecha, mamish. Don't we say chasidecha? It means that he is a real chasid from beginning to end. And avadecha, hanach de mechayvi dina de mikor. Originally they were guilty. They had done something wrong. V'kivin de ikdal, once they were killed for their aveira by Beis Din kor lu avadecha, they're called avadecha. So memela, Rav is saying that a person who's nereg al pi Beis Din mitoich rishrei does have a kapora. So if so, why isn't the korban brought by the ira nidachas? Must be because of dichui. So the whether ira nidachas will be a raya to Rabbi Yochanan's concept of dichui or not hinges on this question: whether someone who is killed by Beis Din mitoich rishrei without having done a full tshuva, whether he gets a kapara or he doesn't get a kapara. If he doesn't get a kapara, so that's the reason why we don't bring a korban after he's killed, because it's still zevach rishayim to eva. But if he does get a kapara, so it's no longer zevach rishayim, so why don't you bring it as a korban? Elamai tzarayat Rabbi Yochanan, that is a concept of dichui. Once something is pushed away, it can no longer be used as a korban. Amalei Abaye, now Abaye says back to Rava, Mi kamedames, as we turn to Daf Mem Zayin Amid Beis, Haruge Malchus, Haruge Bezen. You're bringing me a raya from people who were killed by Goyim, by the Omis Oilum, the Avodah Zara. So Enechanami, that is Tak Avadecha. That if the person got killed by them, that would be considered a kapara. But here we're speaking about Haruge Bezdin. Haruge Bezdin, he maintains, Abaye maintains, if he's Meis Metoch Rishrei, there is no kapara. What's the difference? Says Abaye. Haruge Malchus Kivin Deshaloi B'din Kamikdali, since they were killed without justice, there was no reason for them to get killed, just that the Goyim killed them, Havyulahu Kapara. Then, in fact, it is a Kapara. But Aruge Bezdin, Kivin de Bedin Komikdali, Lavala Kapara. But I maintain that by people who are put to death by Bezdin, since they did something wrong for which they deserve Misa, so on that itself, there is no Kapara if they're dying Mitoich Rishoy without having done Tshuva. So it comes out according to Abaye, we have three categories. If someone dies naturally, so then, of course, there is no kapara. That everybody agrees to. If it's Haruge Malchus, that everybody agrees is a kapara, because it's not a natural death, and there was no justice, no din, why the person should receive Misa. Haruge Bezdin, here's the machlokes between Rabbi Yosef and Rav on one side. They say it is a kapara, and Abaye on the other side who says it's not a kapara. And if it's not a kapara, then you have no raya to Rabbi Yochanan of Dichli. Teda, here's where we bring in our Mishnah. This now we learned in our Mishnah. The person who was killed by Bezdin was not buried in the form of his forefathers. The And if you would entertain the thought, even the Iktal Havali Kapara, that once he's killed, he does get Kapara, as Rabbi Yosef and Rava maintained. So Likbaru, so why, right after he is killed, even if it's Metoch Rishai, he gets Kapara. So then let him be buried. Then he's just a big tzaddik as the other people in his family. Why can't he be buried? Bekivrei Avosov is a clear raya that the death alone does not bring him kapara. And that is why you cannot bring the korban in the ira nidachas. Not because of dichui. The Gemara answers, you're right, misa alone is not a kapara, but misu kvura be'ina. We need misa and kvura. The kvura itself, the burial itself, brings about a partial kapara. So he has part kapara with the misa, part kapara with the kvura. Together he gets kapara. And if so, why don't we bring a korban? If he has misa and kvura, must be because of dichui. Maisa Rabbi Abba asked from another halacha. We learned again in the Mishnah Mem Vav Amid Beis, Loi Hayu Misablin Elo Einanin. The surviving relative of a person who was sentenced to death by Bezdin is in a dilemma. On the one hand, it's a relative of his who has been killed. On the other hand, there is reason not to be misabel for him in public. Rashi in the Mishnah said the reason is because the fact that the mace has no public avelis, that itself is a bezoyin to the mace, and that itself is part of the kapara. Or the Yad Rama learns that it's a kiyum of the pasuk bavod rishoyim rina. When rishoyim are taken away, destroyed, taken away from this world, there is joy. So a public expression of avelis, whatever the reason is based on these rishoyim, is not shown. However, the Mishnah said, in your heart, the Torah did not expect a person who lost his father, his mother, his brother, his sister, that he shouldn't have any bad feelings that his relative was killed. He's allowed to have it in his heart because aninus is in the heart. Ask now. Abaye ve'i salkadata kivin de ikber havelo kapara. If you're telling me that you need misa and kvura, but after the kvura, there is kapara, so then why can't he have a public expression of avelis? The person already received this kapara. Liablu. So let there be avelis. So elamai, you see that there is no kapara. And again, that's why there's no korban in, of an ira nidachas, not because of dichui, because it's still zevach rishoyim teiva. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. Misa alone is not enough. Kvura alone is not enough. Bina nami ichel baser. We need that the flesh should decompose. But once there is decomposition of the flesh, then he does receive a full kapara. Deikanami. I'll bring you a proof to this. Diktani, we learned Nisachla Basar, once the flesh has been decomposed, Malaknes Atzomis, we collect the bones, Vikarvan Isabim Karman, and then we bury them in the correct place with the Kivrei Avoisov. So what do we see? Shemamino, from here we have a clear proof that after the Mis and the Kvura and the Ichel Basar, then in fact, it's a full Kapara. So if so, why isn't the Korban Barat by Nir Nedachas? We could bring it after the Misa and the Kvura and the Ichel Basar, and yet we don't. So riot to Rabbi Yochanan, that of the concept of Dichui, because there was a period of time where he was a Russian. You couldn't bring it, so you can't even bring it after the Zman HaKapara. The way the Yad Ramah learns this first pshat is that he's telling me two things. Number one, that the full Kapara does not take place until after Ichel HaBasar, the decomposition of the flesh. However, once there is decomposition, ein echenami, then the halacha that we learned before, loyei misablin elo einenin, will not apply anymore. Then avelus will be chal, because since he has received a full kapora, now ein echenami, they could be misabel. So this is the first shita. Rav Ashi, Amar Rav Ashi, says a different teretz, and according to the Yad Ramah, he's disagreeing with the first shita in 2 points. Rav Ashi says, avelus mei misaykom eschelus, when does the avelus start? Mistimus Agoil. Rashi learns, and this is a machloikas, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam throughout Shas, various places, that Goilal is the upper board that was put on top of the Aron. The Rabbeinu Tam in the Taisus here, top Taisus Mashiach to Magoilal, has various questions. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam, approximately 10 lines from the bottom of this long Taisus, says, Mefarsh Rabbeinu Tam, the Goilal hainu Evan Godol, Miloshim Vegolu Esa Evan. They rolled the stone, Shemanichan Alakaval, Simon Vehi Matseva. So the Rabbeinu Tam learns that, in fact, this is a Matseva. It would seem that they put on the Matseva right after the Kvura. So according to either Pshat, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, once that Golel, whatever it is, the top board or the Matseva, is put on, that's when the Avelis begins. However, says the Gemara, Kapora Mei Mesai Kehavia, when is the full Kapora? Michi Chazu Tzara de Kivraporta. When the Mace has experienced a little bit of the Tzara of Kever, which we call the Chibur HaKever, the Yisurim, the beginning of the Ichel Basar, not the completion of the Ichel Basar. That's when he receives Kapora. And therefore, Hilkach, Hoyul, Ve'itchu Yitchu, since for a short period of time, until he experiences the Tsar, the pain of the burial, so the Mace does not have Kapora. It was pushed away for a little bit. Once the Avelis can't start right away after the Kvura, the Avelis is bottled. So the Yad Ramah explains that Rav Ashi, in fact, is arguing on 2 points on the first Teretz. Number one, the first Teretz says that when does the full Kapora come? When there is complete Ichel Basar. And it was only after the complete Ichel Basar that they would move the bones of the person who was Nereg al pi Bezdin to the Kivri Avoisov. So he only gets Kapora then. However, then, Avelis would be Chal. It's only during that period that he didn't have full Kapora that there was no Avelis, only on Ninus. However, Rav Ashi disagrees in 2 points. Number one, he says that you get the Kapora at the beginning by Chibur HaKever. You don't have to wait till the entire Ichel Basar. And secondly, that you don't, there is no Avelis. If you couldn't do the Avelis right away, it's pushed off entirely. And he learns that Loyoy Misablin means they never were Misabel on this mace, even after they received full Kapara. Ask the Gemara, according to Rav Ashi, Ihochi Lomali Ichel Basar. So why is that Loch that we only move his bones after Ichel Basar? According to the first Pshat, it's very good, because that's the only time he receives Kapara. Until then, he's a Rosh, he can't be buried next to a Tzaddik. But according to Rav Ashi, he receives Ichel Basar, he receives the Kapara by Chibur HaKever when he first experiences the Tsar of the burial. So let him be moved right away. The Gemara answers, Mishom Deloy Efshir, because it's just practically not possible because of the stench of the decomposing flesh, the fact that there'll be nivel ames, the flesh will come apart. It's not a time when you could do it. It's only after the body is fully decomposed full ichul basar, that it's practical to move him. But Eini Chanami Altz Kapara, he received Kapara at the beginning of ichul basar, at the time of Chibra Kever, and he would have been able to be moved if it would have been technically feasible. Now, Rashi points out that even though Rav Ashi introduces a concept here that if the Avelis cannot be chal right away, hoil v'itchu yitchu, that there's no more Avelis, by regel, if a person lost a relative on Yontiv, the halacha is that he doesn't keep Avelis during Yontiv, but right after Yontiv he starts. Why don't we say this clause? Since the Avelis couldn't start right away, he shouldn't have to keep Avelis at all. So the Rashi answers, we see in the Gemara Moed Katan Daf Yotes that there is some hanhaga of Avelus even in the regular, because people come to Menachem him. Over here, by someone who was killed by Bezdin, there's no Avelus whatsoever. So therefore, it's in fact a case of Dichui. Once the Avelus couldn't start right away after Kvura, it's not done at all. However, by a Meis Beregel, somebody who dies on Yontiv, there is nichum of the avelim on Yontiv, so in some sense the person is already an avel in Yontiv, therefore we begin the avelus in full after Yontiv, because he wasn't really pushed totally away from the avelus during Yontiv. Now the Gemara discusses in Yonim concerning a kever. Kivrei de Rav, the kever of Rav, havishak l'minei afro, they would take earth either as a skula or a refuah for a fever, on the first day of a fever. So the question is, we're going to learn in tomorrow's shir that there's an isser hanah that someone is not allowed to have hanah from a mace or for anything that's used for a mace. So asu amrlei l'Shmuel, they said to Shmuel what people were doing. And the question was, maybe they're doing something wrong because they're taking from the earth of the kever of Rav. So Amar Lehu Yos Avdin. Shmuel responded, they're doing proper. They're not being over on the Isser of having Hanoah from a mace. Why? Because what are they taking? Karka Oilamu. They're taking earth from the world. The Karka Oilamain and Eseres. And earth from the world is not Usser. How do we know this? Dechsev, Ayashlech, Esafor, Al-Kever, B'nei Am, Yoshio, Amelech, when he was destroying the Avodah Zorah in Eretz Yisrael. So there was an Asherah tree that was served as Avodah Zorah in the Beis HaMikdash. He destroyed it, and the ashes of that Asherah, he spread out, the Meforshim say, over the graves of the people who served that Asherah. So we see here a comparison between the ashes of the Asherah Avodah Zorah and kever, so makish kever b'nei am la'avodis kechavim, ma avodis kechavim b'chur b'loy mitzra. We have aloch masach avodah zarah, that the earth that is connected to an avodah zarah does not become osur dechsiv, because the pasuk says, asher atem yorshim oisim es lohayim alohorim aramim. The beginning of the pasuk is, ave ta abdun es kolam akoyim es asher avdu shom agoyim, that Klal Yisrael had a mitzvah of destroying all the places of Avodah Zorah that the Goyim served, and the Pasuk says, Asher Atem Yarshim Oysam, you're inheriting Eretz Yisrael, Esoleheim Alohorim Aramim, their gods on the tall mountains. Alohorim Eloheim Veloyahorim Eloheim. The Avodah Zorah is on the mountain, but not when the mountain itself is an Avodah Zorah. So Mechuber by Avodah Zorah is Mutter. It's only Tolish that is prohibited. Or Tolush that became Mechubber still has a din of Tolush. For example, if a person builds a house for an Avodah Zorah, so even though the house, all the materials that were used were Tolush, but now they became Mechubber, so it does not have a halach of Mechubber, it still has a halach of Tolush and it's Osir. And therefore the Meiri speaks out that when they took this earth as a refu or a skula for the fever, they didn't take it from the earth that was unearthed and then put back on top of the mace. Rather, because that is Tolish and Mechubber, and Tolish that became Mechubber has a loch of Tolish, it would be Usr. They took it from the sides of the kever, which were never touched, so those were always Mechubber. If it's always Mechubber, we learn from Avodah Zorah that Mechubber is not Usr by Avodah Zorah, and Mechubber is not Usr legabe having Isser Anoah from a mace. Hachanami, b'Mechubber loy mitzer. That's what we learn from Avodah Zorah. Mace, I'll bring you a series of brises that would seem to indicate otherwise, that a kever itself is Asur Banoah, even though it's Mechubar, Mesri. Hachaitz of Kever, love somebody dug a Kever for his father. V'holach v'kover b'makam acher. And he went and he buried him someplace else. Harezeh lo yikover boya lamet. So since it was designated for his father, and Rashi says that the Gemara understands it's not because of an inyan of kibbut ave'eim. But if it would be any mace, it would be the same thing. Once already it's designated for a particular mace, then it has a din of a kever, then you're also to have a gnaw from it, even though you buried the mace someplace else. Harezeh lo yikover boya lamet. You can never use it again for another mace because you're having a gnaw from a kever. So l'chayri, you see, you're not allowed to have a gnaw from a kever, even though it's mechubber. The Gemara answers, talking my skin, be kever binyan. We're talking about a kever binyan. Machloek is Rashi in the Yadrima. Rashi learns, Bonoi lemailum in a karka. This was a building that was built on top of the ground. So this is a case of tolush v'nas mechubber. Now it's attached, but it was separated, and that has a din of tolush. And it is usher by a void of zara, and it's also usher by a mace. The Yadrima learns that it means the grave site was lined, the hole, the pit, was lined with bricks. So that is usher, because the bricks, again, are a case of something tolush, which became a chubber, has a loch of tolush, and then you're not allowed to have hanor from it, and that's why nobody else can be buried there. Toshma, I'll bring you a ride from another brisa. Kever chodesh, a new kever, which Rashi explains to mean that it wasn't designated for any particular mace that had died. It was only a place where the person was thinking eventually of using it as a kever. Mutter banoah doesn't have a din of a kever yet, and it only has a din of a kever. It was designated for a certain mace. So this kever chodesh is mutter banoah. Hitl by nafel, but if you put even a nafel in it, Osir banoah, then you're not allowed to use it anymore. So l'chayre, you're speaking about the kever itself, and you see, even though it's mechubar, it's osir banoah. Hachanami bekever binyan, the same teretz said before. It's speaking about a kever binyan, and Rashi l'shitasay and the Yadrama, again, what the pshat in kever binyan is. Toshima, another brisa. Nimtza atoim reshloish kevor asay. It comes out that there are three different kinds of graves, and each one has a different halacha. And each of these three graves, we're going to be discussing three separate halachas nageya to each of the three graves. What are the three graves? Kever animtza, a kever where the owner knows that he didn't give permission for anybody to bury a mace there, and he finds a mace there, so it was done without permission, it's gzela, and therefore it doesn't really have a halach of a kever, as we'll see. Kever ayudua, a kever where he knows that a mace is going to be buried there, and the third type of kever is kever amazakas arabim. They made a kever, but it turns out that people are passing over it and becoming tamei. And here are the various halachas. Kever on nimtza, so mutter lefanoisei. Number one, you're allowed to take the mace out and bury him someplace else, because there was no permission given to bury the mace to begin with. Pino, if you took him out, mekayim maitar, although the rabbanan normally made a gzera, that they didn't want people moving mesim from one place to the other. Therefore, they placed an isser of tumah on a grave site where the mace had been taken away from, but in this case where the mace was put there without permission of the owner, so they did not put their gzeira, and therefore once the mace is taken out, mekayim tor, the gzeira of the rabban of tumah does not apply, and the place is tor. Umutter banoah, since it really doesn't have a din of a kever, even though here we're speaking about hanoah from a mace as an isser deraisa, but here it's mutter banoah, because it doesn't have a din of a kever. Kever, you do a, but if it was a kever where it was known that they're going to put a mace there with permission, so there's three halachas, asur lefanoi. So the first halacha is that you cannot take the mace out. The second halacha is pinu, mekoyme tamei. There's the isur de rabbanan that the place is tamei. And the third halacha is va'asur behano. And since it's a kever, there's an isur hano. And here's where the Gemara's question is. You're speaking about the kever itself, and you're saying it's asur hano. The third kind of grave is kever amazak asarabim. So the din is mutter lefanoi. So the rabbanan allowed you to bury him someplace else. Pinu, if you buried him mekoymoi tor, the rabbanan did not put their injunction, their gzeira, that it should remain tamei, because they want to prevent the rabbim from becoming tamei. It's being mazak the rabbim. So here again, the rabbanan did not place their isser. However, since it is a kever, it was done without gzeila, it was done with permission, So they're just trying to facilitate that we can move the mace and the place shouldn't be tamei. But as far as hanoah v'asur banoah, it remains asur banoah. So from all the cases here where it's asur banoah, we have the question of the chayr kever itself, which is mechubar, and yet it's asur banoah. The Gemara answers, hachanami bekever binyan, we're going to give the same teretz as before kever binyan. Ask the Gemara kasha, the kever aninza mutl fanoisa, you said the halach is that if you find a mace in a kever and you didn't give permission for the mace to be buried there, you're allowed to remove him to another graveside. I Dilma Mace Mitzvah. You know why you found somebody there? Because somebody buried a Mace Mitzvah. And Rashi brings down that one of the takonis that Yeshua made when they entered Yisrael is the next halacha that we're going to learn, that Umace Mitzvah Kana Mekaymai. This halacha is brought down in Masechta Bava Kamma on Daf Pei Aleph, that Yeshua instituted that a mace mitzvah is kind of his place. So maybe this mace mitzvah was found right next to the kever, so the people who found the mace mitzvah put him in this kever. So how do you have a right, Yeshua made a takana that it's kind of makaymoy, how do you have a right to take out this mace? The Gemara answers, shiny mace mitzvah, the kol islay. If in fact it would be a mace mitzvah, there would be a talk going around from one person to another. People would find out that a mace mitzvah had been found, he was buried right in the place there was an existing kever, people would know about it. And since nobody knows about it, apparently this was not a case of a mace mitzvah, it was just a case where somebody used it without permission, therefore the halacha is, all heterim apply to kever animtza. Mutter l'fanoisei, pinu makar metor, umutter banoah. But concerning all these shilas that were brought, it's not a stira to the halacha, that a kever itself, there's no isser hanoah when it's mechubar, because all these cases will be talking about kever binyan, and kever binyan is tolish and then mechubar. Tolish and then mechubar as a din of tolish, and therefore it will be in those cases, osir behanoah.